Case in point, God uses first the natural, then the spiritual. For the past several months, God has just been throwing me one problem after another to solve. I mean, situations in the home that just happen that are bizarre and beyond my understanding of how to fix them or how to go about fixing them. And I share this because God is such a practical God. I mean, it's not always out there somewhere. It's just where we are right now in the here and now. I believe, well, there's a scripture here. It says, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How many of you realize God knows the answer to your problem? Okay. We have a water faucet. You turn it on, and only hot water comes out. No cold water, just hot water. All right. What do you do? Well, if I was in a more affluent sort of position, I would call for the plumber. Or maybe I would call for the plumber, but the Lord says, no, just ask me. So I ask, what should I do? And he doesn't say anything right away. So I just go and pray in the Spirit and go about doing some other things. Because the neat thing about praying in tongues is you can engage in other activity that don't necessarily tax your mind. And you can be praying while you're still going about it, whatever else you're doing. But as I was doing this other thing, an idea just popped into my mind. Just boom. And it was, go turn off the hot water. Go turn off the cold water. So I went and I turned off the cold water. Okay, now does this make sense? I mean, all we're getting is hot water. In the sink, there's a hot water and there's a cold water. And the Lord says, turn off the cold water. Now, the cold water is not working. What would you normally do? Turn off the hot water. But he says, turn off the cold water. So I turned off the cold water.
And do you know, to this day, it works. There's hot water and there's cold water. How it works, I don't know. I don't care to know. Ask Dave Moore. Maybe he can figure it out. But I've got other fish to fry. So I've got to go on because there's other things that keep coming up. One night we came back, our pipes were frozen, and I'm looking at a situation that is like, oh my gosh, how do I figure this thing out? I mean, I couldn't get a hold of the plumber, whatever. And it's, so I said, God, what do I do? And I'd like to say immediately a thought came to me, but it didn't. I just continued praying in the Spirit. You know, it's great to pray in the Spirit when you're mad. You know, it really sanctifies whatever might come out of your lips. And just sort of brings God into the situation. And so that's what I was doing. You know, I was trying different things. Nothing was working. Finally, I got through this guy. And he mentioned some things, which I did. But as I was doing some things to get the problem solved, ideas just vicariously started coming into my mind that I had never thought about. It was so simple. And I started turning levers and whatever, and to this day, it works. I mean, problems that I had for months at a time that are really creating problems with balancing the system, the Lord gave me the answers. And I believe it was directly related to praying in the Spirit. I believe it's like learning. Okay, Dave Knaus, you can help me with this. One of the reasons why educators are so excited about getting children involved in music is because it engages the entire mind, okay, both hemispheres. And also, the more you learn, the more you trip levers, neurons in the brain that trip other levers and release the creative process. This is one of the reasons why all those guys out in Silicon Valley generally play an instrument. Because it releases the creative ability to go beyond where they are and think out of the box. Okay? And is that pretty close, David? That's pretty good. Okay. I believe the same things in the Spirit. I mean, it's good to pray with your understanding. The Bible says do that. But it also says pray in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues. I believe it increases the amount of which you will hear the voice of God. Why are tongues important? Because it increases the amount from which you will hear the voice of God. Don't you think that's something worth pursuing? Hallelujah. Now, that's why it works, because you hear God more. One of the reasons why Jesus was able to do what he did was because he only did that which he saw the Father doing. Now, how did he see what the Father was doing? He first heard. Hearing, in this case, precedes seeing. But I just want to give you a simple three-step how-to program to get this thing going in your life. First, speak in tongues. Just do it. Day and night. All the time. For me, the Lord is really encouraging me to sing in the Spirit, sing in tongues, worship in the Spirit. It's great when you run out of you forget the lyrics, which I do a lot. I tell people I'm not forgetful, it's just displacement. I just have so much information coming in, it pushes the other stuff out. So that's what happens. And tongues just engages me into that realm where I don't have to worry about the words, and I go into Spirit language, and it's wonderful. And you get the job done. What happens is, I believe it's tripping all kinds of levers in the Spirit so that you begin to increase what God is saying. And then when you ask for him to interpret it, you take what is being said in the Spirit and it becomes an inspiration. Now, Romans 10 and 17, big key scripture here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And the Word is the Rhema. It's the living Word. It's the Word that is life to you in that moment that you need it. And it is not so mysterious. It is just an inspiration that comes when you're thinking of something else. And you know it's God because you would have never thought of it on your own. Or if you thought you did, it was God anyway, and you're just taking the credit. But it's amazing how these inspirations just keep coming. This morning, we had these power outages and whatever, and my wife calls me, and the printer's not working, okay? And I'm looking at, okay, fried circuits, the whole thing, you know. I can't print my notes. Last night, just before I went to finish my notes, the computer spiked, and all of the notes were gone in cyberspace. And so I just went to bed, prayed to the Lord, and just said, okay. And then this morning I get up, the printer's not working. My wife calls me and I said, uh-huh, and I leave. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm just going to go have my time with the Lord. And so I worshiped the Lord and prayed in the Spirit. And while I was doing that, an idea came to me, just boom. And sure enough, in one of the panels that it was tied into, it had fried a circuit. I pulled it out, put it in another, and it worked. And it was just like, wow, God's really talking to me. Now, what's the reason for that? He's preparing me for the other realm when somebody comes up for prayer. And I've been praying, God, use me in gifts of healing and miracles. And Lord, let me know what you're doing when the moment comes. Now, I remember a testimony of this fellow by the name of Robert Laridon, who was in a meeting, and the Holy Ghost overtook him, and he went over to somebody sitting in the front row in a neck brace, and he takes the neck and goes, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and walks on. And the whole church is paralyzed. You know, I mean, they knew what happened. This person had just gone and received surgery, had three vertebrae surgically frozen or tied in with cement and concrete and bubble gum. I mean, that thing was in there forever, you know what I mean? I mean, it was surgically sealed for some reason. And they could not bend there, and it was that going to be their condition for life. But the word of the Lord came, the anointing came, because he had been building himself up so that his emotions and his spirit, whatever, he'd just be bold enough to do that. He walked on. Afterwards, when they told him what he had done, he went, oh, when the anointing lifted, he was horrified. He was, I did what? But under the anointing, he was bold as a lion. And the miracle of God flowed through the obedience as he received the interpretation to what he'd been praying in the Spirit. Boom. And I'm saying, ooh, anybody here? I want to practice on you. Okay, how does it work? You would shed it in the natural. You just pray in the Spirit, and God shows you, whoa, I heard from God. I acted on it. It worked. Build your faith. And then you take another step. Oh, that was God. So that when it comes to praying over somebody, you might just be sitting in your seat and something will take hold of you. I just know that if I lay hands on that person, they're going to get well. I just know that God's going to use me. You don't know why or how. There's just an impression will come on you. And you go and you just lay hands and it'll be that which brings the breakthrough. You see, this is why Paul said, I would that you all speak with other tongues. And this is why he also said, I speak in tongues with more than you all. I think he understood why it's so powerful. It just increases our effectiveness in hearing what the Lord is saying to us. But the key here is Lord, would you let me know? Would you give me an interpretation of all this that I'm saying all day? And that has been a key in releasing. How many of you realize you have not because you ask not? It's there in Scripture. Paul was saying, listen, you can have a meeting where somebody gets up and speaks in tongue, and if nobody prays for the interpretation, it probably won't come. And I'm saying to you, you can go on praying in the Spirit all day long, all week long, all month long. But when I began to think, whoa, this is in Scripture for a reason, I'm going to just ask the Lord for an interpretation. Now, I don't get a verbal thing. I get an impression thing, but it's still God and still working. And all kinds of things have been happening as a direct result of, in fact, it's increasing. And how many of you realize that the prayer of desperation isn't always faith-based? Take the disciples in the storm. Storm number one, Jesus is in the boat. Great statement of faith. Lord, don't you perish? Don't you care that we're perishing? Great, you know what I mean? You know, they just fed maybe 20,000 people. And here they are in a boat. Jesus is there. And they're freaking. And what does Jesus do? He gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And then he rebukes them. Oh, ye of little faith. So God is trying to build their faith and build their emotions and build their strength. What was he looking for? He was looking for somebody who was built up and prepared in the spirit to take on that situation, stand up in the boat and rebuke the wind and the waves. He was expecting the disciples to do this. Okay, you didn't get it this time. We'll send another storm. Storm number two comes. How do we know this is another storm? Because this time Jesus isn't in the boat. He's walking to the boat. He's walking on the water, in fact. Peter cries out, come. He walks on the water to a point, and then he starts sinking. What does Jesus say? O ye of little faith. Well, how many of you walked on water? You know what I mean? But I'm thinking, I mean, the cry of desperation isn't always a faith thing. And here's this, here's what happens is many times because we're not prepared for the situation, even though I believe God prepares us for every situation we find ourselves, if we are not taking responsibility for our preparation, when the test comes, many times we fail. But don't worry. This is a mastery type of learning. You will go through it again to storm number two and storm number three, if you wish. See what I'm saying? Until this thing's worked in you. Many times we just want to get, you know, out of the problem. Just, Lord, our cry of desperation is, Lord, get me out of this situation and make sure it never happens again. When the Lord wants you to go through that situation and learn from it and mature so that when it comes again, you can stand up in the authority and power and anointing of the Holy Ghost and declare. And you're prophesying and your words have power to change that situation. I love how Ezekiel, when it starts out, he faced the wind and the storm. I mean, everybody else booked, but he stood and faced the storm. Whoa. How did that happen? I believe that he was prepared behind the scenes in a place of prayer. See, prayer doesn't only just build you up spiritually. It builds you up emotionally. It deals with your soul. Now, there's an incredible account in Jeremiah 42, verse 7. Here, God was speaking to the people through Jeremiah to go to Egypt. They've just gone through the Babylonian thing, and Nebuchadnezzar was going to take them down to Egypt, where he's going to conquer Egypt and that whole thing. And they said, no, we're going to defy what God's saying and what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. We don't recognize this whole thing. So, they say, I'll tell you what, Jeremiah, you pray, and whatever you say, we'll do. So Jeremiah goes and pays the price of prayer, and he prays 10 days. You have that? Look at that. And it came pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And guess what he said? He said, go to Egypt. And you know what those people said? We're not going. Now, why did they say no? And Jeremiah say yes. Because I believe in the time that he spent in prayer, that it prepared his soul, his mind, will, and emotions for the answer, so that it came no matter how difficult the answer seemed. For me, it was turning off the cold water. That did not make sense. Still doesn't. Can't figure that one out. And there's other things the Lord's told me to do that didn't make any sense, and I think he's arranged it that way. So I know I'm hearing from him, and I just go and do it, and it works. I'm going like, okay, this one's for the record books. You have a couple circuits in your house that you can't explain either. You know, we were talking about that. All right, it's just, you know, God speaks to us, and he's the ultimate problem solver, both in the natural and the spiritual. So the key is preparing ourselves. All right, this doesn't only just work, with regards to individuals and delivering ourselves out of situation or others. It deals with our destiny. Like, how many of you have promises that you're yet believing God for?
I mean, you know, you are a child of destiny and yet stand in unfulfilled prophecies. All right. Now, the thing about it is God prepares us for every test, every situation, just like the lion and the bear for David. He was prepared before Goliath ever walked into the scene. I believe God is preparing you. But you know what? We have to participate in the preparation process. We have to open up the book and read it. You know, we have to pray. We have to praise. We have to worship. We have to pray in tongues. I believe that's vital for us to come to the fulfillment of the fullness that God has for us, particularly in possessing the problems. I mean, promises. Possessing the promises. Okay. You know, here's the thing. A prophet comes and he prophesies over you. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you go, huh? You ever get words that you just put on the shelf? It's like, huh? Where did that come from? All right, you put on the shelf. What do you do when you put it on the shelf? Do you forget about it? Paul said, do a good warfare. Pray for that. Begin to just pray. Well, I don't know how to pray for that thing. That thing's so out there, I don't even know if I want to. You shift into the Holy Ghost. You pray in tongues. And you say, oh, Lord, somewhere along the way, give me an interpretation. So you're praying along, and all of a sudden, God gives you a confirming scripture to that prophetic word that you got. Now that prophecy has oompa. You see, you've heard. Hearing validates and helps you possess the promise. If you don't hear it for yourself, it's somebody else's words. You got to own it. If it's your destiny, you got to own it. And you got to know. We have all these college kids wondering, what is God doing in my life? Where am I going? What am I going to do? I want to encourage you, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. God's going to be throwing all kinds of scripture at you at Bible school. And you'll just be sitting there and all this will be coming. Sometimes it's just an overload. But even God can work through that. A scripture will come. And if you're in the place of crying out for an interpretation, God will take that scripture and rhema it to your heart. And boom, it will seal itself to a promise and it will become life to you. Now, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in not so complimentary terms. In John 5 and 37, he said, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his word at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. He's talking to the Pharisees. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. What he's saying is you can read the Bible through and through and through and have absolutely zero understanding of God, zero understanding of who he is, what he is, and anything about him. There are scholars. In fact, there's this one scholar by the name of Kittle who wrote a translation of every Greek word of the whole New Testament. And he put it in 23, 24 volumes. Any single word, you can find out in this huge, deep meaning. This guy had understanding coming out of his every pore in his body. And yet he never got saved. So that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, you go to the Word because you think that in the Word there's life? No, it's me. It's me. Everything in the Word points to me. It's talking about a personal encounter with a living person who talks to you and confirms to you. And if you've got all these promises, you know, like walk on water. Well, I have a pool you can experiment on, but unless you've really heard from God, it isn't going to work. The only reason Paul walked is because he heard. Before he walked. You see what I'm saying? We need to hear. How do you do that? You just pray in the Spirit. And you say, Lord, you know, reveal to me my inheritance, my destiny, where I'm going, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. And as you read the Bible and you've been asking for interpretation, rhema will come to you. I've found that since I have been asking for God to interpret what I've been saying in the Spirit, I have received more rhema than at any other time in my life in these past several months. I mean, just a clarity when I started the series, just a clarity of where I was going to go with it.
And what I was going to do is just a sense of like, yeah, boy, this is unusual. You notice that generally I have notes. Today I didn't get them out because our computer wasn't happy. And that was the only reason. But, you know, it's like it's different, okay? And it's all because I've been asking the Lord to just reveal to me what I'm saying throughout the week. And so you hear it, you receive it. Mary said, did she understand the word when it came to her about that she would carry the Christ child? Not fully. But she said, let it be done according to your word. You receive it. And then you act on it, okay? Activate that thing, okay? Now, how many of you realize that when it comes to promises, prophetic words, it's going to be proven, okay? Now, how do you know it's a word from God? The fire will reveal whether it's from God or you. If it burns up in the fire, you missed it. If it stays through the trial, you got it. And so what God does is he prepares you for the trial. You know, he confirms his word to your heart. I was just reading about Patrick of Ireland. As a young man, he was taken from a wealthy environment in England and brought into slavery in Ireland and spent most of his young life there. And then he was finally escaped back to England. And there God gave him a word that he was to go back to Ireland and face the same situation, but this time under the anointing of God. He waited 20 years and several disappointments. Like the bishop, the archbishop appointed another guy over him. And he had to wait until that guy died and was appointed to go. Over 20 years. What do you do when you're waiting for those long-range prophecies to come? You take those words that God is life to you, and you hold them up before him. And because they've been life to you, you keep at it, and you keep at it like he did. And as a result, he changed Ireland and the nations of the earth, because everything comes from Ireland. Selah. Is this on the tape? Oh, okay. Praise God. And all the Irish stand and cheer. Okay, the proving. Remember Abraham? Here he was in a situation where he'd heard from God. He said, I'm going to establish covenant with you. All the nations that bless you are going to be blessed. All the nations that curse you are going to be cursed. Okay? Then God speaks to him, and he says, I want you to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And now what you're going to do is instead of being exalted father, which is what Abram means, I want you to change your name to Abraham, which means father of nations. And I want you to go around the camp and tell everybody that you're the father of nations. Now, he wouldn't have done this unless he heard. You see, this is the territory you start walking into, but he obeyed God. He received it, and he activated it. And the proving came when, he was asked to take his only son and put him on the altar. He says, it just doesn't make sense according to the prophetic word that I was life to me, you know. But he believed that God could resurrect him from the dead if need be. And the Bible gives him this. It says that he staggered not in Romans 4:20 at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, you know he did. But the divine record, I mean, it's divine amnesia. God just doesn't remember the slip-ups. I love it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you on awards night in heaven? You know, staggered not. Hallelujah. Never a discouraging word was heard from him, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Wouldn't you just like that for all to see? Then, and we're coming to a close here. Jesus. Remember him? Sort of an incidental footnote in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, Matthew 3:17. He receives a prophetic word. He hears the Father say, that's my boy. Okay, that's Italian interpretation of, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Italian version is, that's my boy. Okay, that's a little humor. We're coming to a close here. It's okay, folks. And so he goes into the wilderness, tempted 40 days. What's the first thing the devil throws in his face? If you're the Son of God. See what I'm saying? The devil always does that. He's always, you know, that's why you've got to have this thing lifed. You got it lifed in your heart. When the devil comes along, it's like, I don't care. I know. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, you know, war, good warfare. Bring this word up. Bring this word up many, many times. So, you know, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeding. Okay? It's not the receding word. It's not what he said yesterday. It's what he's saying today. Well, what's he saying today? Well, I found that when I speak in tongues, I can more frequently connect with what he's saying right now than I could before when I just prayed in English and understood in my understanding. Now, one other thing. In order to keep these promises alive, so that they come to fulfillment, we need to meditate on them. And meditate's an incredible word. It means to mutter. Everybody has a fodder and a mutter. But this is the mutter that we need to do. And it involves speaking. It carries the idea of a cow taking from one of its many stomachs and redigesting until finally it's digested. Apparently it's a process that takes many, many times. Now, the Hebrews had an interesting expression. You didn't learn things by heart. You learned them through mouth. They believed in repetition. And as I go on in years, I find that that is definitely something that the Lord constantly encourages me to do. It's just, where did you put your keys? Where did you put it? I'm putting, okay, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so repetition. It's a good way to learn. Now, Joshua was told this. In Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Isn't that interesting? This book shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Mutter. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and shall make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, he was saying that to someone in the Old Covenant who didn't have the benefit of speaking in tongues. I believe that a New Testament derivation of this concept of meditating on the Word also spills over to muttering in tongues for the purpose of lifing the Word. It doesn't just become letters on a page, but it becomes something that's life to you. Isn't that good? And everybody said, whoa. All right. Since you're so amazed at that, we're going to close with this. We have a live performance here. I'm going to have my wife come. The other way that we strengthen ourselves in the Lord is through testimonies. Testimonies. Okay, yes, you will. Here. Testimonies are basically sharing what God has done, whether it be in your life or somebody else's. Yeah. Chris is saying, what is he doing? Yeah, I'm becoming a sound guy. Now, the purpose of Jesus spoke this in Revelation 19:10, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A testimony has the same power as a prophetic word when it's given to glorify the Lord. It carries with it prophetic power to do something, to strengthen the people of God, to encourage them. And I was reading of a fellow who was sharing about the power of testimonies, and he was saying that he shared how he was in a meeting where this boy was healed of a club foot, and, you know, he was running around the congregation, apparently the people who were in that congregation were so excited, they went out to the mall and began telling people about what they saw. And people were getting so excited about the testimony that they said, pray for me. And this one lady with terminal cancer was prayed for, and she was immediately healed. And then another person had a word of knowledge that there's more he wants to do. He wants to heal your back. And she had a cyst on her spine as well. And God healed that. And they had a healing meeting right there in the marketplace. And I believe that's where it's going. Okay, that what God's doing in our own time of preparation and then, personally helping us fix things, getting inspiration of God, he's bringing it into the church. We pray for people. We have unction. We pray word of knowledge, word of wisdom, whatever. The gifts be activated because we're activating the gifts all throughout the week. Okay, and it happens. Then we go out. It's Monday church in the marketplace. And let me just share this testimony.
This is Bill Johnson that's going to be sharing this, and he's reading an email that he got. So here it goes.
This is from a pastor in our network. He says, I'm Jim Rogers, associate pastor of Bridgeway Church in Denver. Our church has a passion to see the kingdom of God ministered by everyday saints to our city and the nations. We are part of a relational affiliation of churches called Global Legacy. That's our network. In January 2008, I was flying home from Europe after ministering in Africa at leaders' conferences for the release of the kingdom, healing, and the Father's love. Little did I know that God was wanting to show me that the power of the kingdom was coming home to the U.S. in new ways and that he intended to heal many on the airplane. We were about an hour into the air when the stewardess gave us drinks. I was drinking Diet Coke, wearing a white shirt, when accidentally the stewardess bumped my arm and the soda went everywhere. My shirt was stained and I felt some frustration, but I immediately felt the presence of God come upon me. I knew that I was not to get angry. The stewardess helped as best she could to clean up the mess. She was very surprised I didn't lose it. I realize now that the enemy is trying to stop what God had in mind. I looked across the aisle, saw a lady squirming in her seat. I wondered what her problem was. The Lord told me she had hurt her back 2 weeks earlier, and he wanted me to pray for her. I was so tired and just wanted to read my book and watch a movie, I initially told the Lord no. Isn't it funny? God often wants to use us when we least feel like it. But God wouldn't let me go. After quite a few exchanges with the Lord, I finally said, okay, fine, Lord, I will pray for her. I leaned across the aisle and asked the lady if she had hurt her back 2 weeks earlier. That got her attention. She then asked how I knew that. I explained that the Lord had told me. And I also told her about my recent travels in Africa. Then I asked if I could pray for her. She said yes. Then I asked if I could lay my hand on her shoulder. She looked at me and said, oh, you mean now? I told her I didn't believe God wanted her in pain for the next 8 hours. It's a good response. As I prayed for her, the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she fell out of her seat and landed on the floor in the aisle. The stewardess came around the corner, greatly concerned, and asked if we needed a doctor. I was trying to explain what had happened, that God was ministering to her and that the lady was fine. As we talked, the lady came out of it, and the stewardess asked if she was okay. The lady said, yes, I'm fine. Hey, my back doesn't hurt. I started to explain about the lady's back when she cut me off. She told the stewardess all about how she hurt her back on ice 2 weeks earlier, and that this pastor prayed for her, and she was totally healed. Caught off guard and unaware God was, and aware God was present, the stewardess said she hurt her knee 4 weeks ago, was in constant pain. She asked if I would pray for her. I said yes. Then she got a real serious look and asked if she would fall down. I said I didn't know. I prayed for her also, and God healed her knee on the spot. As I got up to go back to my seat, there were three people lined up in the aisle asking for prayer. Apparently others had noticed what was going on. I felt the Lord urging me to continue. As I started to pray for the first lady, I suddenly heard over the intercom the stewardess that I had prayed for saying there was a pastor on board who had been in Africa praying for healing, and that when he prayed for her and the woman with the bad back, both had been healed. She said, if anyone needs healing, they should come to the galley between coach and first class, and he would pray for them. I thought to myself, here we go. Then a large gentleman came up to me. He was from England. He asked if he could catch for me. I thought, thank you, Lord. At least there's someone else here who knows what's going on. For the next 2 hours, we had a healing service. At one point, the catcher came to me and said, you need to slow down. I'm running out of places to put people. I looked in the galley, and there were people everywhere. We had 5 salvations during our time, including one young man from Saudi Arabia. He was coming to the U.S. for surgery on his torn rotator cuff muscle. He also had other damage to his shoulder. God healed him, and I told him it was Jesus who had touched him. He said, I know Jesus. I said to him, yes, you know who he is, but you need to know him as Savior. As we talked, he received the Lord. One of his traveling companions was a lady who came to me and said she was a Christian and she would see to it that he got into a church. The people who didn't come forward for prayer were wide-eyed and looking over their seats throughout the cabin to see what was going on. When all was finished, I sat down, picked up my book, and laughed to myself. The book was Face to Face with God by Bill Johnson. I thought to myself, God certainly does have a sense of humor, for this indeed was a Bill Johnson moment, everyday saints doing the stuff. Praise God for his wonderful love and desire to use any one of us in his service. Feel free to share this testimony. It would be an encouragement. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, come on.
That's where I believe it's going, to the marketplace. It's got to spill out of here onto the streets. And God just wants us to be in a place where we're being built up in our faith, that we can just simply allow God to use us in these dynamics. Wouldn't that be so cool? I mean, to hear this sort of stuff. I'll tell you, I've been feeling, I said, Lord, I don't want to be somebody who has a form of godliness but denies the power. I mean, I know you want us to move in miracles and healings. And when we seem to move out in that, we all get sick and get hit with the flu. But I'm not discouraged. I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm saying, Lord, help me to interpret what I'm saying, what I'm praying. But I believe so much of it is tied into the fact that the Lord is getting us in alignment for the miraculous, not only to happen here, but out there. That's where He wants it to go. And that's where I feel He's taking us.
This morning, instead of gathering all my stuff and putting it in the bag, my normal Bible briefcase kind of thing that I carry, I felt to put it in a suitcase. And Deb does that so she doesn't have to carry it. And I was thinking, you know, I've done that once before, but it's like, and as I was going out of the house, the Lord reminded me that we've gotten a prophetic word that we're going to be translated at some point from here to there to whatever. It felt like the Lord was saying, keep your carry-on close.
I'd like to bless you. This was a prophetic declaration that John Paul Jackson felt to pray over his life. And I felt, well, this is good. I'd like to pray it over you.
and declare it over you. And as you know, I have received a prophetic word to declare constantly, day and night, over this region, over this church, the good things of God. And I'm taking that seriously. I believe, people, unless we activate our faith and do something about it, we won't be prepared when the tests of life come, or we'll miss the best opportunities of our life and have to go through them over and over again. Some people never seen the forest from the trees and being in what I call God's Maytag the rest of their life. I don't want to be in the spin cycle forever. You know, I'd like to come out, stand against the wind and the waves and rebuke it and get to the other side and get on with the purposes of God. So let's stand and let's just receive these words over our lives as a prophetic declaration of what we believe God to do. Father, I thank you that we are the light of the world because the light of the world dwells within us. Father, we bear your light to change the world. Your kingdom will come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No one will meet me and not be changed, because no one can meet you and not be changed. I will become increasingly aware of the light that I carry. I will grow in you and grow in this light. I will become a change agent in this world. Everywhere I go, everyone will be changed with whom I come in contact. I will believe in the unbelievable. What is yet, I will become. I will come to understand that where I am is in you. And I will see my future more clearly than I have ever seen it before. The gifts you have given me will begin to flourish as I grow to understand your ways. Nothing will prosper that comes against me, because I live a repentant life before you. And because I live a repentant life, you will always answer my prayers. I will become what you have called me to become and placed on this earth for such a time as this. I live where I live because you placed me here. I am not here by accident. I am here by divine appointment. My neighbors will prosper because you are in me. Those I touch will prosper because you are in me. It is impossible for me to pray for anyone who is not touched, because you flow through me. It makes no difference if he or she recognizes that touch or not. You will touch them. You will touch others more times than you do at other times. And I will not judge my relationship with you based on what they feel. I relate to you because of who you are in me, not because of others, not because of my emotions, not because I feel safe, not because I've ascended to greatness because of my wonderful intellect, but because of what you've done in me. I'm procreated, regenerated, and born anew. Your seed has entered me. Your spirit lives in me. My spirit is alive and quickened because your breath is in me. I will become more quickened to you, fine-tuned to your spirit, not doing what you're not doing and doing what you are doing. I will become a witness for you because your light is in me and it proves to others that you exist. With your help, when people see me, they will see you. And soon there will be a clear distinction between those who don't know you and me. Because I do know you, people will see me and they will know that I'm a follower of Jesus and a bearer of his light. For your glory, this will happen, taking the foolish things to confound the wise. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for helping me become a change agent on this earth and for your glory. And I bless you now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless us. Go out there and give them heaven. Hallelujah. Remember, the purpose of church is to pump you up so you go out there and pour it out. Okay? So, God bless you.